if Russia's military is capable of going much faster pace and achieving a military victory by destroying the units and then taking the territory as well, by going in this slower pace, it keeps alive the possibility that, no, we can hold out for a lot longer than this. That was reinforced by Ursula von der Leyen earlier today when she seems to go down her continuing path that this is a war, that we're actually in a war with Russia and maybe one we can win.
Something new and dangerous is happening in our skies. In just the past 2 weeks, MiG fighters have violated Estonia's airspace, and drones have flown over critical sites in Belgium, Poland, Romania, Denmark, and Germany. Flights have been grounded, jets scrambled, and countermeasures deployed to ensure the safety of our citizens. Make no mistake, this is part of a worrisome pattern of growing threats. Across our union, undersea cables have been cut, airports and logistic hubs paralyzed by cyber attacks, and elections targeted by malign influence campaign. These incidents are calculated to linger in the twilight of deniability. This is not random harassment. It is a coherent and escalating campaign to unsettle our citizens, test our resolve, divide our union, and weaken our support for Ukraine. And it is time to call it by its name. This is hybrid warfare.
And so what do you make of that? Is her characterization accurate, or is the Russian view of that they're not trying to escalate into Europe? What do you think is the case?
I think it's a pile of lies. Von der Leyen is a hawk. She is a warrior. She wants to grab, she's also virtually a dictator. She has seized all as much authority within the European institutions as she could, which was not so difficult because she's surrounded by 27 cowards who all have linked arms and are afraid to rein her in. She may be reined in, she may lose a confidence vote in the next few weeks, but the point is, everything that she's saying is to make the point that Europe is threatened and it needs a strong leader who makes defense federalized under her watch. It's all self-serving. Now, these attacks, the incursion on Estonian airspace, I ask you to look at the map. When you look at the overlapping territories that are sovereign territories of the countries bordering the Baltic Sea, which are now all, with the exception of Kaliningrad of Russia, which all of the bordering lands of the Baltic Sea are NATO countries. When you extend out into the sea, their territorial rights, and it leaves you with almost nil international waters. So this whole claim of Russian infringement is, in fact, not a Russian aggression. It is a European NATO aggression against Russia to create an air and sea blockade on Russia in the Baltic. As they said very nicely, when Finland and Sweden joined NATO, it turns the Baltic into a NATO lake. Well, my friends, if that's how you feel, we will have World War III. Because the Russians will not be barred from using the Baltic Sea. That is a casus belli. And it takes more than a few cutters from Estonia to stop a Russian oil tanker or Mr. Macron's little police boats stopping a suspected gray fleet Russian tanker somewhere in the off of the coast of France. They proceed with this and we have World War III. There's nothing to talk about. They won't proceed with it because the Russians will not allow them to do it. However, this drone attacks is even more preposterous. All over the place, in everybody's backyard is a drone attack, all done by the Russians. This is as nonsensical, as absurd, as all of the Russia stories to prevent Trump's election in 2016 and to impeach him after his election. This, I would be sure, is all launched and coordinated by MI6 in London, who are the main practitioners of dirty tricks. And von der Leyen finds this very convenient, a story to establish and justify her stranglehold on power in the European Union.
Yeah, I'm not sure what good it is going to be to have power if you end up with some of your actions end up spawning a global war. Hopefully that will just stay in the rhetoric realm. You mentioned something a second ago that potentially that Russia could go all the way up to the Dnieper River and that might not end it. That kind of lines up with something that Putin did say a couple of days ago when he talked about what their objectives were right now in the SMO.
I address the soldiers and officers, the real heroes of our time, with a special feeling. I thank you for your loyalty to your motherland, for your military valor and courage, for every day of your hard combat work. I am sure that, thanks to you, the security of Russia will be reliably ensured, and the long-awaited and strong world will return to the heroic land of Donbass and Novorossiya. We are together, and this means that all our plans will be realized.
So he says all of his plans will be realized. All of Novorossiya, which is we've talked about on this channel a lot, that's four additional oblasts besides just the four that are allegedly on the table right now. And you're saying, suggesting, though, that that still might not be enough.
Well, there's one thing missing in that Novorossiya story, and that is Odessa. The French and the British interest in Ukraine focuses on Odessa. Odessa, if you look at the map closely, it is in an easy strike range to Crimea. It is the Ukraine's major port. It's what prevents Ukraine from being landlocked and is essential to the Ukrainian economy. It is important militarily for the reason I just mentioned, because it would be a wonderful naval port for the French and the British. The Russians understand that, and in Russian television, which again I explain I use fairly regularly as a source, they are now calling out Odessa as one more objective before they end their military activities in Ukraine.
So where do you see this going, let's just say, by the first quarter, by the spring of next year? So within roughly 6 months from now, will this war just keep going on for years? Or do you think Russia will finally just put the gas genuinely on the floor and try to achieve a military victory? What is your assessment?
As I said, the political victory would be done in one day if Mr. Putin finds the guts to do it. And that is to bomb the hell out of the administrative building buildings and use Oreshnik to go down to whatever depth is needed to wipe out Mr. Zelensky and his team in their underground hideouts. They have the missiles to do it. And that would end the war. Europe will stand and do nothing about it. The Americans, Mr. Trump, will express regrets. That's what war is all about. And then he'll go about doing business with Mr. Putin that he'd like to do but cannot do while the war is raging. It's beside my understanding that Putin does not end the war.
So if he doesn't do that version where you say it could be over really quickly, what does it look like 6 months from now, the first quarter of 2026?
Nothing. It looks like, well, if you want to see what it looks like, you have to go out 4 years. This bridging loan, which the Europeans want to give to Ukraine, what is it all about? It's to keep the Ukrainians in play for 3 years or 4 years. Why 3 or 4 years? Look at the rest of the program. They are spending now hundreds of billions of euros to build up, to bulk up Europe's military production. Germany is a leader in this with a 1 trillion euro debt that's taking out mostly for the purpose of building out its armed forces and for, as Mr. Merz said openly, to make Germany the biggest defender, he calls it, let's call it by the real name, the biggest military force in Western Europe. That will be ready for when? For 2029. Merz has said that the Russians will attack in 2029. Let's speak not Orwellian language, but real language. He means that he will attack Russia in 2029. And if he builds out the army as he plans, you know, the Europe could just win. This is not my opinion, but again, experts on Russian state television are saying not that the Germans will win, but they're saying that German industry should not be disparaged. The German industry is quite serious. And if money is put into it, you know, they can build good arms. So the situation is not a six-month perspective. The situation that Europe is looking at is a four-year perspective. And you know something? It can work like that. And that is precisely why I've changed my mind about the wisdom of the go slow, don't rock the boat, don't challenge the West too much policy of Putin. It's reached the end of its practical life.
Well, it does seem that there's going to be a decision to be made on a number of different parties here, not the least of which is in Moscow. And I guess we'll have to wait and see how that's going to work out, because the capacity is there. It's just a matter of whether the political will is and what the West would do in response. And all of that is, you know, something that's very, very bad for global stability and global security, because anything that expands this war is bad for everybody. And I pray to God we never see it. But we appreciate you coming on today and giving us this different perspective than what we get from a lot of other places. And we really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we appreciate you guys, too. Be sure and like and subscribe if you haven't done that on your way out. And we'll thank you very much for watching our show today. And we'll see you tomorrow on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.